Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Aleph. Omar Rav Huna. You can see we've underlined Rav Huna, and before we continue further in the Gemara, let us glance at the side of the Gemara where we have our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've noted that this topic ad omid beis, class still omid beis, and we've written Dino Shel Rav Huna. We'll be introduced to Rav Huna's teaching, Hani Bitsyosa Demeshan. Bitsyosa Demeshan are a type of canoe shaped boat. It's a boat that has a very narrow bottom to it, where it tapers in very sharply. And it's something like a canoe or a kayak. And Ein Metaltelin Bohen Ella Ba'arbo'o. His din is that you cannot carry within these Bitsosa de Meshan more than four amos. The reason for this is that the boat is this kind of boat, the Bitsyosa Demeshan, as opposed to the Sfina that we saw in the previous sugya, which was classified as a Rishus HaYochid, being that this boat has its unique dimensions to it, it doesn't gain a Rishus HaYochid status. Therefore, you are limited to the amount in which you can carry. We will be exposed to some other ideas in this sugya, and we've listed them. One is gud, ochis, mechitza. Gud is a wall, and ochis is to go down. This is a concept that's also known as a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's an oral tradition that involves an imaginary descent of a wall into below. In other words, a descending wall, an imaginary descending wall. A second concept we will be introduced to is Mechitza Shagdoyim Boikin Bo, a wall under which fish can penetrate or travel or swim. And three is a concept known as Mechitza Tluya, a suspended wall. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Hani Bitsyosa Demeshan, Ein Metaplin Bohen Ela Ba'arbo'o. One is not allowed to carry things within the boat other than within four amos. We have a bracketed section, and immediately following the brackets, we have questions that are raised. The questions are introduced with triangles, and the directions of the triangles indicate, as you can see under our Mivneh heading with the triangle pointing up, they serve to they represent a question on Rav Huna. With the inverted triangle, you'll notice that the Gemara is going to be supporting Rav Huna. So in order to keep track of what direction things are taking, we will be able to employ these triangles to see where we're going. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara qualifies the din of Rav Huna. So the brackets here simply they're here to, let's say, make the structure clear whereby we present Rav Huna, and immediately following the brackets, a question is raised on Rav Huna, and within the brackets we will qualify what Rav Huna says. So Rav Huna said that within these kayak-type boats that are they're small and very, they taper to a sharp point. V'lo amoron elo she'en v'pochos mishloisho arbo'o. This din of Rav Huna, that you cannot carry more than four amos in the boat, is so only if the boat is so narrow, with a very with these dimensions, that within three tvachim of the bottom of the boat, it's so narrow that it hasn't widened to a width of four tvachim. Avol yesh bepochos migimol arba'ol. If within three tvachim, three handbreadths of the bottom of the boat, it widens so that the triangle formed there has a greater angle as opposed to a very acute angle, as it widens, namely within three tvachim of the bottom, it's widened to four tvachim of width, less longbow, then we have no objection. The boat will be able, this boat will have its rishus hayochid status. And then you're not limited to how much you can carry within the boat. Another qualification is, granted, let us assume that the boat, the triangle formed, or the angle of the bottom of the boat is very acute. However, vi malinu koni v'urbani, if you filled the bottom of the boat with reeds and branches, less lon ba. What that does is it, in effect, it nullifies the very acute angle, and you start measuring the boat from the surface of the branches that you filled into the bottom of the boat. Now, at that point where the fill is finished, there the boat will have a width of four tvachim, and being that it has a width of four tvachim, it already, at that point, you start your measurement, so to speak. It's considered at that point a rishus hayochid. And therefore, you won't have the restriction of how much you can carry. It goes without saying that if it doesn't have a rishus hayochid status, then the boat would have a karmelis status, and a karmelis is a rabbinic domain that has characteristics of a Torah domain of a rishus harabim, and hence you have the restriction of not carrying more than four amos. Maskif lo Rav Nachmon. Rav Nachmon raises a question on Rav Huna. V'leimo gud ochis mechitzta. Granted, the bottom of the boat is a very acute angle. Why, though, do you say you have a carrying restriction in the boat? Why not employ this oral tradition called gud ochis mechitzta, the imaginary descending wall, and at the upper edge of the boat where it has sufficient width? Obviously, if a person can sit in it, it's wide at the top of it. Why not at that point imagine the edge of the boat descending downwards, creating a wall around the entire boat? In other words, creating the sufficient width of the boat all the way down. Mi lo tanyo, do we not have the following teaching? Before we go any further in the Gemara, we've mentioned already a few times in our recent Shiurim that we highly advise having available the Pirush Chai. It's a book of illustrations on Maseches Shabbos, and primarily because we're dealing with the 11th Perek of Shabbos, he has illustrated this Perek in that particular book, the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush, a sefer that we also have advocated getting before we get to Maseches Erevin, so you'll have his book of illustrations for that entire Masechta. As we continue in the Gemara, the question of Rav Nachman is, why not employ the concept of gud ochis mechitzta, so that even if the boat has a very acute angular bottom, nevertheless, we will be able to supply the boat with sufficient width altogether by having the upper edge of the boat descend in an imaginary descent down into the water. Milo Tanyo, do we not have the following source? Rabbi Yossi Brabuda Omer, Noatz Konev Rishus Harabim. The person wedged a reed into a public thoroughfare. A reed is a narrow, tall thing. We call it a pole. He wedged a pole into a public thoroughfare, Barosho Traskel. At the top of the narrow pole is a traskel, a basket. a basket having a width of 4 by 4 tefachim at least. V'zorak b'noch al gabov, and someone while standing in the Rishus HaRabim threw and it landed on the traskel on the basket, chayov, he would be guilty. Alma, what do we see from here? And you'll see with our markings, in order to create a type of balance in the sugya, you'll see that we've highlighted the word alma, followed by the expression amrinim gud achas mechitza. We'll see this expression appear later as well. So what do we see from here? That we say gud achas mechitza. What do we mean by that? That the basket at the top, the traskel at the top of the pole, that has its 4x4 surface area. Rashi points out, by the way, that the basket itself does not have a depth of 10 tefachim, and yet we consider the pole's height as creating the necessary height, and the rim around the basket descends, creating the walls around the height. In other words, you've got now something, an entity, that is 10 tefachim of height, surrounded by walls 4 by 4 tefachim. That is a Rishus HaYochid. And it's so much so a Rishus HaYochid that if you stand in a public thoroughfare and throw to the top of this pole with the traskel on its top, you have thrown onto a Rishus HaYochid. So you've gone from a Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochid. So Hochinami, so to hear by our B'tziosa D'meishan, that Rav Huna was strict with, name a good ochis mechitza. Why not say that the upper edge of the boat descends downwards, direct downward descent, forming a wall around the entire boat, making it, even though it has a very narrow, a very acute angular bottom to it, we would just disregard that because of the good ochis mechitza. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges Rav Nachman. But in challenging Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman was a kashan Rav Huna. Now if I challenge that question, so I'm now going to support Rav Huna, and hence we have the inverted triangle. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Velo shmielahu laha di Omar Rav Yehuda Omarav. Did you not hear the teaching of Rav Yehuda Omarav? Umotu ba, and some say Mishum Rabbi Chiya, change in name, that it's in the name of Rabbi Chiya. V'toni Allah, and what did Rabbi Chiya teach? He says that concerning the pole with the basket on the top, the following was taught. V'chachomim potrin, that if you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim and throw to the top of this pole with the traskel, you will be exempt. That would seem to say that we don't apply the concept of good achis mechitza in order to create a heter. In other words, the we don't say good achis mechitza. The chachamim exempt one from who throws from the Rishus HaRabim to the top of that. Rashi says on the third line under the Gemara text, v'chomim potrin amo lo amrinan good achis Lahatir mechitza tluya. So we're not going to employ this concept of the good achis to allow the carrying in the boat. Omar le Abaye. Now Abaye responds. Here the triangle is repositioned. We also note on the side, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, Abaye encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, because we want to show that all of this piece of Gemara is Abaye speaking. So Omar le Abaye, v'at lo tizbra, and you would not agree that there is a descending wall? And notice, you'll see in a few lines from now, the bow tie introducing Alma, and then that underlined phrase, Amino Gudochas Mechitza. You can see clearly the direction the Gemara is taking, that Abaye wants to reinstate the concept of Gudochas Mechitza, that we should say it. And hence we will be reinstating Rav Nachman's question on Rav Huna. So, Omar le Abaye, v'at lo tizbara, v'hotanya. Do you not agree? Do you not also hold from this logic? Do we not have the following Tanaic source? Omid Rishus HaRabim, Gavoa Sor V'Rochav Arba, a pole standing in a public thoroughfare that has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim, V'ein B'Ikoro Gimel. But at the base of the pole, it became narrow. It narrowed inwards so that at the base, it doesn't have 4 tefachim of width. the yesh b'kutzer shelo gimel, and that narrow part where it tapered in, it's tapered in for a height of 3 tefachim. The zorak v'noch al gabov, and you stood in the rishus harabim and threw onto this pole. Chayov, he is considered guilty. Now, why is he guilty? The pole at the bottom narrowed in. It doesn't have a 4x4 dimension at that narrow point, and that narrow point actually is 3 tefachim. It's 3 tefachim of height, so you can't apply the concept of lovud either. So it's not considered. It shouldn't be considered a rishus hayochid, and yet we say that if you throw onto this pole, you're chayav. Almo amrinon good ochis mechitzta. So we see that we do apply the concept of the descending wall, the descending edges of this pole at that narrow point, so it's not considered narrow down to the floor. It's as if it's an even 4x4 pole down to the ground. Hochanami, so to here by the boat. Good ochis mechitzta. Let us say the boat wall from the top edge of the boat descends, forming a mechitza around the whole boat. Midi, and Abaye continues speaking, midi irya, hosam, the exemption of the Rabbonan before, if you were before, where we said that the Rabbonan exempt for throwing onto the pole in the Machlokis before Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Hossam, the reason for their exemption, and that we did not say their good ochits, I have an explanation for that. Hossam havyo le mechitza shagdoyen boikinba. It's a mechitza that is easily penetrated by goats. A mechitza that it doesn't serve as a real block. It doesn't serve as a wall, being that the goats can penetrate it. So it's not considered a mechitza. Hocha havilo mechitza, here by the boat and the omud in the Rishus Rabim, it's a mechitza she'ein hagdoyim boikin ba. It's something that the goats will not penetrate. And therefore, since it's something goats don't penetrate, it is considered a good mechitza. So at this point, Abaye's comment ends, and you can see that he's saying that just like in the case of the pole that's pillar in the Rishus Rabim, that's 10 tefachim of height and 4x4, but as you near the bottom, it narrows, it tapers in, but nevertheless, It's a situation where goats don't penetrate that area. It's still capable of blocking goats, and likewise in the water, there are no goats. So in such cases where goats don't penetrate, we should be able to apply the concept of mechitza, of a good ochis mechitza, the descending wall theory. And once again, the question is reinstated against Rav Huna. Why is he so restrictive? Why not say that the edges of the boat descend, creating a wall around the boat? And we would thereby disregard the fact that it comes to a very acute angle. Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rav Acha le Rav Ashi. Notice the inverted triangle. He says, Gabi Sfino Nami Ho Iko Bekias Dogim. Well, with regard to the boat, granted that there are no goats, but there is fish penetration. Fish swim right under the edges of the boat. In other words, the point of the boat, next to the very acute angle, fish can swim right around that. So fish penetrate the imaginary wall, and therefore you don't have an effective mechitza. And that was the svara we saw before for preventing the good achas mechitza phenomenon from working. And therefore I understand Rav Huna's restriction. Omar lei. So Rav Ashi says back, Bekias dogim lo shmei bekia. The fact that fish penetrate is of no consequence. And notice with the triangle repositioned upwards, we're reinstating our kasha on Rav Huna. If fish penetration is of no consequence, so I should be able to say good ochis mechitza. And if I say good ochis mechitza, so the bitzasa de meishan will have a rishus hayochid status, and therefore there should be no restriction of how much you can carry in the boat. The Gemara asks, Umenot Temra, and from where do I know this concept? So here you'll notice we have a long point marking because we're trying to illustrate the point of Bekiyas Dogim Lo Shmei Bekiya. So from where do I know this? Debo Amine Rebbe Tavlo Me Rav. Rebbe Tavlo asked of Rav, Mechitza Tluya Mao Shetati Bechurba. A chorbor is a ruin, a building that is a ruin. And in this case, we're talking about one extended a mechitza tluya. It's a suspended mechitza. It means he extended from the outside of the, from one of the walls of the ruin, it's a ruin, so some of the walls are penetrated. There are massive holes in some of the walls. And you could have a situation where there's the beginning of the wall from the roof is coming down, but from midway down the wall, there's a gaping hole. So in effect, you have a suspended wall. Mahu shetati b'churba. Would the interior of the ruin be considered a surrounded area? And can I carry within the ruin? Even though the area around the ruin is a public thoroughfare. So can I carry based on the fact that there's the beginning of a wall from the roof down, again with this gaping hole in it? Can I rely on the fact that there is a suspended wall? The Omar lay, and he answered, that would be that Rav answered, Ein mechitza tluya materes elo b'mayim. A suspended wall is not effective unless it is over water. Kal hu shekilu chachomim b'mayim. We're at the top of Omid Beis in the Gemara. It means that the Rabbanan activated a leniency when it comes to water. In other words, the churba that has merely suspended walls with a surrounding area of Rishus HaRabim, one will not be able to carry within the churba based on the suspended wall. So it's considered just an open area into a public thoroughfare. The concept, however, of a suspended wall being effective, that is true when you're dealing with a suspended wall over water. And that would, if you can imagine a pier or some structure over water, and you extended a frame that was represents the beginning of a frame measuring 4x4 tefachim, which would represent the beginning of a wall descending into the water. You could then draw water from within that frame onto the pier. This, by the way, is a concept we saw in our previous Gemara, and on when we were learning Daf Kuf with the sheet of Rav Chista, and we saw in that sugya this idea of a suspended wall working over a water surface. You might ask, Vamai, how is it that the suspended wall over water is effective? Ha ikah b'kiyas dogim, is there not the penetration of fish? In other words, in the water, under your suspended wall, fish swim. So they penetrate. And we've seen before, just a bit before, if you have goats that penetrate walls, it doesn't constitute a sufficient wall. So why not say that there is fish penetration? Elo shma mino b'kiyas dogim lo shma b'kiyah. Rather, we conclude from here that fish penetration is of no consequence. Now, let's not lose sight of the forest for the trees. We now glance back over this sugya, and being that we're concluding bekiyas dogim lo shma bekiyah, that fish swimming doesn't penetrate walls, and doesn't constitute a wall penetration, and we have a concept of good ochis mechitza, why then is Rav Huna so restrictive with regard to carrying within the Beitz Yosa de Meishan? And that's the end of the sugya, leaving Rav Huna leaving Rav Huna Shita being questioned. Sfinos, Kshuros, v'chulei. The Mishnah spoke about boats that are tied to one another. So it said you can metatlin mizeh lezeh, you can carry from one boat to the other. The topic heading on the side of the Gemara, you can see we've used this as our no say, as our topic. Sfinos hakshur zu lezu, heter tiltul beinehem. So the Mishnah seems to be teaching something that's obviously allowed. So pshita, isn't this Mishnah obvious? And as you know very well, that which is obvious is not taught by Mishnayos. You don't need to teach the obvious. As we go on in the Gemara, you see we have numbering. We have Rava, and later on Rav Safra. Stages, we'll say, these represent stages in getting an answer to our question. So, Amar Rava, lo nitzrucha, elo lahatir bitzis shebeinehem. The heter of the Mishnah is to include a case of a bitzis. We had just before in our on the previous summit the bitzios de Meishan, that was the very narrow bottomed kayak shaped boat. So Rava wants to say that the heter is to include a case where you have this we have this canoe or kayak shaped boat between the two tied boats. Omer le Rav Safra. Rav Safra addresses Rava and says, Moshe is an expression. We know it as a name, but it's an expression referring to someone who is the Godol Hador. So Rav Safra addresses Rava and says, Moshe, Shapir ko Amris, are you saying something that is Shapir, that is good, that is accurate? Metatlin mizu lezu tnan. The Mishnah speaks about carrying from one boat to the next without anything between them. Elo Omar Rav Safra. Therefore, Rav Safra introduces his explanation. Lo nitzrucha elo le'arev uletaltel mizu lezu uchedesanya. We're talking in this Mishnah about boats that are owned by two different people. When you have domains, even though they're of the same nature, they're both Rishus Hayochid, but they are owned by two different people, there is a rabbinic need for an Eruv. We call this an Eruv Chatzeros. So that if you were to imagine, let's say you have a courtyard that is owned jointly and private apartments, private houses that open into a jointly owned courtyard, in order to carry from the house to the courtyard, you need to make an Eruv Chatzeros. So here we have two boats that are tied to one another, owned by two different people, and I want to carry from one boat to the next. So we have a Tanaic source that expounds on this issue. Uchedesanya, Sfinos Kshuros Zubazu, boats that are tied one to the other. Ma'arvin Umetalvin Mizumazu. If you make an eruv, you can then carry from one boat to the next. Nifsiku, if the tie breaks, Nesru, so it becomes forbidden. And Rashi says, Botehu Eruv. The Eruv that was made also becomes nullified. Chazru v'nikshru, if they become retied, the boats get retied. Bein Shogin Bein Mezidin, whether it's done inadvertently, if one forgot that it was Shabbos, or that one forgot it's also to tie things together on Shabbos. Bein Mezidin, or even if it was deliberately, there was a deliberate Shabbos violation. Bein Anusin, Bein Mutoyin, whether it was by force or through error. The error here, Rashi says, they were involved with something else and they ended up tying the two. It ended up that the boats got tied together. Chozru leheteron harishon. The original heter is reinstated. So even though during Shabbos there was a point at which there was a break in the allowance, in the permission, nevertheless, it gets the allowance gets reinstated. The chain machtsolos of prusos, And likewise, with regard to mats that are suspended, and the mats end up dividing an area where different individuals, let's say an area is compartmentalized by suspended mats. Those are machzos haprusos. And you want to carry from one compartment to the next, where in each compartment there are individuals. So ma'arvin umetatlin mizu lizu. You can make an eruv and then carry from one to the other. And we didn't point out before the idea of making an eruv chatzeros, is where people contribute to some, let's say, jointly owned food, and it's placed in one of the compartments or in one of the private locations, but everyone is considered a joint holder of it, of that food. That's called an Eruv Chatzeros. Now, we're dealing with these machzolos that are suspended, creating these different compartments. You can carry from one to the next if an Eruv was made. Niglalu, Nesru, if the mats are rolled up, so they... Then you have a situation where they are forbidden to carry from one spot to another. Chazru v'nifrasu, if they then become extended again, so then bein shogin bein mezidin bein anusin bein mutoin chazru leteron harishon. So the enclosed status gets reinstated, because we didn't point out, but once the mats are rolled up, so the walls are rolled up, so you have an open area, and an open area is something you cannot carry in on Shabbos. But if these mats were resuspended, however, no matter what the circumstances, whether it's shogig or mazid, chazru l'teron rishon. Shekol mechitza shenase b'Shabbos, bein b'shogig bein b'mezid, shmo mechitza. Any mechitza that is made on Shabbos, a mechitza is a wall, and to be allowed to carry on Shabbos within an area, it has to be an enclosed area. So if the enclosure was made on Shabbos, even if it was made under mezid, deliberate Shabbos violations, it's nevertheless considered a mechitza. So Rav Safra, who came to explain the Mishnah of the boats tied together, that namely, if boats are tied together, and they're owned by two separate people, one is able to carry from one boat to the next. And Rav Safra went on to say, and as is taught in the Tanaic source, that this halacha of being allowed to carry from one boat to the next includes a situation where the tie was broken and then re-established, that one can carry even under those circumstances from one boat to the next. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this really so? Ve'omer Rav Nachman lo shanu elo lizrok. The idea that we just mentioned, that a mechitza that's made on Shabbos is considered a mechitza, that is only lizrok. That would mean for throwing purposes. And what do we mean, throwing? That would mean that if someone is standing outside the mechitza that was just made on Shabbos, he's standing in a reshus harabim, and he throws to the enclosed area, he will be guilty. Or the other way around, he's standing in this newly enclosed area and throws to the public thoroughfare. So it's considered a mechitza, but with a resultant stringency to mechayev the person. But to carry within the area enclosed by this mechitza made on Shabbos, we will not allow. So that to apply a leniency, we won't allow a leniency. If that be the case, how can you say that in the case of the boats that are re-tied together, you would be able to carry from one to the next? Is that not a case of a mechitza nasis b'Shabbos? So the Gemara answers, ki itmar de Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's din is amezid itmar. In other words, that if the wall was made on Shabbos deliberately, with a deliberate Shabbos violation, then we say there would be that it's considered a mechitza only for zrika purposes and not for tiltal purposes. However, if it were made on Shabbos but it wasn't made b'mezid, it was done by mistake, So then we will impose or we will allow a leniency of carrying within that area. When we look at the Rashi and the lines under the Gemara text, Avo letaltel, Lios muter letaltel besocho, osur midivrehem, then there is a prohibition, amazed itmar. That's regarding the walls made on Shabbos with a deliberate Shabbos violation, umishum knosa, because of a knas, a rabbinic restriction that's imposed, udekotoni mas nisin, and that which the source taught, chosru teron harishon. We saw in the case of the boats that were re-tied or the mats that were re-suspended, that it enjoys its original heter, its original leniency. Ashogigin vanusin vamutoyin. It's going on those cases, koi. The chikotoni mezidin, and the term in the source that where it said mezidin, that's ashmo mechitza koi velizrok kirav nachmon. That it is considered a wall, but only with regard to a stringency, as Rav Nachman taught. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Vafilu Kshuros Bechut Hasarbol. Shmuel says that the tying together of the boats is even if it's tied together with a cord or a string that's used to tie together a say a coat collar, where after a person, let's say, buttons up his coat, you might have this kind of thing on many coats that have hoods on them, where there's a string around the neck area to tighten the neck area. That's called a chut hasarbol. It's a thin type of string. So Shmuel says, even if they're tied together with a chut hasarbol, hechidomi, what are the circumstances? If this chut hasarbol is sufficient for keeping the boats in place, pshita, then it's obvious. Shmuel isn't telling me anything new. It's obvious that it's mutter to carry from one boat to the next. And if it's not capable of keeping the boats in place, so why would it be mutter to carry from one boat to the next? The oilom diyochol amidon, in fact, the chut hasarbol is able to keep them together. And what Shmuel is saying over here, with regard to our Mishnah and the boats tied together, even with the chut hasarbol, he's trying to dispel a different teaching of Shmuel himself in with regard to another topic. That is a little bit vague, but it will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. We glance at Rashi momentarily, Lafuke midinavshe. Shmuel here, by saying afilu kshus b'chut hasarbol, is trying to dispel mimilsa, the Omar be'almo, regarding some different matter that he said in another context, the bo'inon shalshlo shel barzel. In this other context, their metal chain, iron chains would be necessary. Vashminan hocha de lo bo'inon ki hasam. And here Shmuel is telling me I don't need iron chains, as they are necessary in that other topic. But we haven't said yet what the other topic is. So let's go on in the Gemara. Disnan, there is a Tanaic source also dealing with boats and being, say, tied. Koshra bedover hamamida. If a person tied a boat with something that keeps it in place, mevi lo tumo. So tumo will be communicated. So let us give a model. Imagine a boat, naturally the boat's sitting in water, and the boat is tied to a pier. So the other end of the item tying the boat, we'll use the term rope for the lack of better expression, but we're going to have to change that as we go on in the Gemara. So the material that's tying the boat to the pier, it's tied together at a point within a covered structure. And in that covered structure, where the other edge, one end of the tie is on the boat and the other end is on the pier, but that point on the pier is tied inside in a covered structure, and there's a corpse in that covered structure. So we say that if the tie keeps the boat fastened in place, tumah that's generated by the corpse will be communicated to the boat. In other words, via the material tying the boat to the pier. Bedover she'ein mamido, if the boat is tied but with a very weak material that won't keep it in place, ein mevi la tumah, the tumah will not be communicated from the covered structure with the corpse in it to the boat. The Omar Shmuel, v'hu shekshura b'shalsheles shel barzel. Shmuel says that in order for the for this Tanaic source to make any sense, namely communication of tumah from the pier to the boat, it would have to be tied with an iron chain. So that the term koshra bedover hamamida, that koshra bedover hamamida is a iron, is an iron chain. Only if it's tied, the boat is tied with the iron chain, will the communication of tumah take place. The inyan tumah hu dichtiv. It is only with regard to tumah that the pasuk says b'halal cherev. Halal is a corpse, and cherev is an iron sword. Cherev hare hu kecholal. And the drosha from this pasuk is cherev is in reference here to iron, is like the corpse. So with regard to tumah, we say cherev harehu kecholal. In there, we say you need to have the boat fastened with an iron chain in order for the communication of tumah. Aval inyan Shabbos, but with regard to a dover hamamida, with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, namely the boats that are tied together, which enable me to carry from one boat to the next, kevan de yochol amida afilu b'chut hasarbol. Anything that's capable of keeping the boats in place is sufficient, even if that material happens to be a string used to tie together the neck of a coat. Let us go through Rashi, who fine tunes this discussion. Rashi, V'omar Shmuel, we're looking at Rashi about 10 lines from the bottom. V'omar Shmuel, V'hu shekosher b'shalshele shel barzel, hai kosher b'dover hamamida, the tying together of the boat to the pier with something that is will keep the boat fastened in place, shalshele shel barzel hu, it's a reference to an iron chain, k'nefarsh time of Oziel, as the Gemara itself explained, based on the Pasuk. Klomar, koshra bedover shiragilin lamida bo. You tied the boat with something that you normally use for tying boats, the hainu shalsheles, namely a chain. Mevi tuma. That is something that will communicate the tuma. Shemetamas asfina lios ava tuma. The iron chain will communicate the corpse tuma. The corpse is called avi avosa tuma. And the iron chain gains the same avi avos status, and it's attached to a boat, making the boat an avatuma. It's a one level down of tuma, becomes called an avatuma. Bedover she'eno mamida, the source said with regard to the tuma, if you tie the boat with something that's not mamida, klomar, that means to say she'eno rogula mibo, something that you don't ordinarily use for attaching boats, kago midi delav matris. Non-iron materials are not usually used for attaching boats. Ein mevi lo tuma, so the tuma will not be communicated. The ilu sfina lo mitama machmas oso kli lios ava tuma. If you use some material other than iron, so the boat will not become an av hatuma. Elo rishon tuma, which is a rishon is a first level tumah, which is a lower level tumah. The eno metama kelim shibasocha, and as a result of the boat itself becoming a mere rishon tumah, so vessels inside the boat will not become tumah. Now we come to the main point. Vashmein and Shmuel hocha. Shmuel here in our Gemara where he mentioned even if the boats are tied with the chut hasarbol, is telling me the high churos de masnis and the word churos in the Mishnah, afal gav the dover mamida poinon, even though it has to be a material capable of keeping the boats in place, kol shu mamida linin Shabbos kosher, anything, any material, you're not limited to iron, any material that keeps the boats in place, v'lo domi l'mamido dehosam, and it's not similar to the mamido found in the case of the tumah. So if you want to summarize the matter, so when it comes to both Shabbos and tumah, we see the term dover ha-mamido. However, in the case of tumah, dover ha-mamido meant something that you usually use for keeping the boat in place, which translates into iron. However, with regard to Shabbos, the term Dover HaMa'amida doesn't translate into something that you usually use. It means anything that you can use, that anything that will keep the boat in place will be sufficient for creating, for the allowance, the leniency of carrying from one boat to the other on Shabbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.